Well, when you're called at 11 o'clock at night and told that Gary's not going to be here, so I didn't have a lot of time to put this together, but Gary has mentioned many times that when he can't sleep, he goes through Psalm 23 in his head. And so a long time ago he said that, and I thought that's a good idea. So I've done that over the years. So it's kind of like a built-in sermon, right? Because I've gone through these words. And so just before we go through the psalm was written by King David. And most commentaries say that King David wrote this as he was king. But he was writing about the shepherd he had gotten to know. And the shepherd he was as a little boy. So here he is as a king, remembering his shepherdhood and remembering and honoring the Lord that he had gotten to know as his shepherd. So let's read together. Look up Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's so much in that, we could just go home now, right? But let's go through it. The Lord is my shepherd. Who is the Lord? David knew the Lord as Yahweh. He got to know him as someone who chose him as a little boy to be king. He got to know him as the guy that the God that took care of him through many different situations. But in John 10, 11 to 15, Jesus clearly says that he is the good shepherd. So John 10, 11 to 15, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now there's a good shepherd. He loves his sheep so much, he dies for them. And notice, I didn't mention this where I wanted to, but at the beginning, this whole psalm is in first person. My shepherd, I shall not want. When we can come to a place in our lives where Jesus is personally our shepherd, not just their shepherd or a shepherd, but my shepherd. And the next little phrase, I shall not want. This is a statement of security, not just for material things. It's a statement of security of the believer. We shall not want because we are secure in Jesus. Amen. Not just physical, but our salvation. And then the next phrase, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So when sheep lie down, it's because they're satisfied. They've had enough to eat. They're not afraid. So Jesus, our good shepherd, satisfies us, not just with plenty of food, which I think most of us enjoy, but he satisfies us with his own presence, with his Holy Spirit. He is with us always. And the still waters, the sheep will not drink water in rapids or scary places, but they will drink their water from a place of stillness and safety. And that's what we have. We're safe in Jesus. And then the next phrase, he restores my soul. Remember David, he was a perfect man. He never sinned, right? No, David knew about a restored soul. He committed some pretty heinous things. Adultery with his next door neighbor. But he confessed, he repented, and he knew what it was to have a restored soul. And then he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I used to be in another religion, and all the pictures that we saw, like in our lesson studies and books, showed Jesus standing on a hilltop, and he was pointing off across the hills, going, like, go that way. But Jesus, in this psalm, he is our leader. We follow him. We don't go over there. In John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Have you ever felt like you were walking through the valley of the shadow of death? I know when I got my cancer diagnosis, it felt kind of that way. Didn't know what my future would be. But the valley of the shadow of death is not the valley of death. It's a shadow. And why is that? Well, in John 11:25-26, Jesus said to Martha, right before he raised Lazarus, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you guys believe that? So we never die. So it's a shadow of death for a believer. And then in verse 4, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you find comfort from a rod or a staff? It's kind of an old-fashioned thing, but shepherds use the rod for defense. They would use it to keep the lions away. They would, if there were little animals that were bugging the sheep, they had that rod, they could whack them. And then there was a staff, and the staff they could use to reach out and pull the sheep or guide the sheep. So Jesus has his rod. He defends us. Even sometimes he punishes us. But he has a staff of direction. He's the one we follow. We're safe with him. And that is a comfort, isn't it? And then, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Have you sat down at a table in front of a bunch of people that were against you? Maybe not. But he does prepare a table for us. And this is like a prefiguring of this table. This table was prepared for us. And there's people that are unbelievers everywhere, but we gather around this table to remember what Jesus did for us. And then you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. What is oil a symbol of? I think oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. So our cup overflows because we are born again, we have the Holy Spirit, and we can share the gospel out of that overflow. And then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Certainly that's a true statement for any believer. We experience goodness and mercy, even if we're going through a very hard time. You would agree with that, I'm sure. The mercy of Jesus, as when we're sinners, he loves us and he died for us and he paid for all of our sin. And then we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In a way, we're already there. We're born again believers. We're secure in him. And we are dwelling with Jesus. He's dwelling with us. But we have a future where physically, we'll be physically present with our Savior. And John 14, 1-3 talks about that. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Isn't that a wonderful promise? We have a great future, a secure future. And that's the psalm. And I encourage you, if you can't sleep at night, probably you've memorized it. If you haven't, it's actually the most famous scripture in the Bible. Most people in the world that are Christian know it. So just rehearse it through your head at nighttime. It's a wonderful psalm of promises. And we come to this table because this table, we remember our good shepherd. The bread is remembrance of Jesus' body that he gave for us. The cup overflows. It's his blood given for the payment of our sins. It never stops. It pays for everything. We are secure in him. So we're going to gather around the table. If you are a believer in Jesus, you've trusted him, you've confessed your sin, then this is your table. And we're going to gather with you. We're going to all gather together. And if not, I encourage you to trust Jesus today. He is a good shepherd. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving your son, our good shepherd. Thank you for his payment of all of our sins. And thank you that right now you're with Gary and you're giving him the comfort he needs. And you're giving him the doctors he needs. And we thank you that we can trust you with everything in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.